4 DJW Mobile. W4NGU. Phil, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
A little bit chilly, but not bad. I'd rather have it than 98 degrees. I really would.
That's a tougher decision for me. 98 is hot, but I don't know. Cold is cold. I hate to shiver.
I hate to sweat.
Getting old and grumpy and set in our ways.
Always ready for the seasons to change, so I'm glad they do. Sure appreciate the upgrades you're doing to the repeater. That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's not just me, it's a team effort.
Brains are.
Fries.
Step in and do the programming for you, you'd be in sad shape.
We walk before we crawl, or no, crawl before we walk and walk before we run. So it is getting dragged out over a long period of time. But the primary objective is not to break anything.
Right. I guess the analogy in my world, I play the trumpet. I'm the only trumpet in the church orchestra. And if I make a mistake, there's no question who did it. And I kind of take the attitude of a doctor. My first responsibility is to do no harm.
Says they're going to happen, right? We're human. It's going to happen, but we want to keep them to a minimum. So you go into Steve's on Saturday morning?
I am. Long as you mentioned that, I'll just tell you, he winched it up last night. And said it wasn't any problem for the winch at all. He was very happy with his engineering, and I was proud of him and congratulated him as well. He's had it vertical. I don't know if he laid it back down or not, but well, he's got to for the antenna.
This message with a picture in it. Me and some other people. I wasn't alone. It looked good. He did a good job, and he did a lot of input from hams with experience, so that's good too. Right? It's always good to get multiple inputs.
Almost the same thing. In fact, we're supposed to go pick up 2 I-beams tomorrow that a guy's given me. That's a great blessing. I don't have to buy those things for my winch poles. I'll just have a spare. I'm not putting up 2 towers right now. But it's supposed to rain heavily tomorrow afternoon, and that's when it's planned, so we might have to bump it for a week.
This is like 50-some-odd feet. How high are you going?
45 feet, so is mine, but mine's a very light-duty tower. It's almost more of a TV antenna. It's 3-legged, but the legs at the bottom are 12 inches apart, and I really wanted something a lot more substantial. By no means is this a self-standing, self-supporting, and Steve's is. And so I've had out on the Wednesday night net, you know, anybody has a tower that they want to sell or give away or whatever. So I hadn't really decided my course of action, but I'm just trying to collect parts at this point.
My dad said my cousin and I helped put up was 70 feet, and it was self-supporting, tapered like Steve's does. As it goes up, as it gets higher and higher, the distance between legs gets smaller and smaller. And I tell you, when we got to the top at 70 feet, we put the last 10 feet on it, and then we went up and put the antenna on top of it. I was glad to get off of that tower. The higher we went, he was on one side and I was on the other, and we didn't have it. Chin pole or anything like that. We would just lift them up with a rope, lift each section up with a rope, and hold it by the bottom of it while we're strapped to the tower and put it on top and bolt it up and then go to the next one. By the time we got to the top, that thing was swaying 3 feet back and forth from side to side with 2 of us hanging off of it. That was scary.
Wow, man. Just manhandle it up without a chin pole. Have mercy. Well, I climbed some in my younger days, but I never got on a real big tower. Gary, DLS, I think he said he's been up 350 feet before. And, of course, Johnny goes up 400. But that's not for me at this point in my life, so I'm going Steve's route and putting up something that's not too big to actually tilt over.
Nice decision. Yeah, when I was younger, I wasn't that wild. I just wasn't smart enough to know not to do it. I think my dad was really, really worried about it. But we did it. We survived, kind of like riding in the back of the pickup truck back then. Or riding a bicycle with no helmet. Back in the 70s, we did all kind of crazy things like that.
In Norton's Tower, and that was 40 feet. And then used to be a guy named Bob Jones in Greer that owned a moving company. He was blind, and he was an active ham in the Greer Club. And I don't remember how tall his was, but I went up and did some work on that. And I wasn't any too sure. I tell you, like you say, when that thing starts swaying, well, 3 feet, I would have come down. Neither of these swayed near that much, but there was enough to keep me awake. Let's put it that way.
He's doing like 6 or 7 inches, 8 inches, 9 inches, 10 inches. That's not too bad. But when it starts getting into the multiple feet, that's when you start thinking, is it going to just keep on going one way and not come back?
From time to time, for who knows what reason, I'll go on YouTube and look at these guys that are on top of 1,000-foot towers and stuff, and it actually makes my hands sweat.
Okay, well, I do the same thing, and I'm okay until they look down. And when they look down, I just feel needles in my knees and my calves and my legs. It just happens. You can't control it. It's built-in human response.
Friend, she's passed away now, but she owned a cell tower in Anderson that was the highest tower in South Carolina, south of 85. And it had every possible FCC allowable antenna on it. And she got over $110,000 a year rental off every service you can imagine. And this is 20 years ago. She was paying $2.50 a foot to have a man go up and replace the light or do any painting or whatever. And of course, it was 250-foot tower, so that was $500. And if he left something on the ground and had to come down and back up, it was another $500 every time.
Where you got to have good books on those things to make sure, and your profit margin is fragile. Because if you have to do that 3 or 4 times, it eats into your profits.
It doesn't take much maintenance. FCC or whoever governing body requires it to be painted every so many years, and of course you have to keep that light working on top. But I thought that was pretty interesting. Somebody makes a living at $2.50 a foot.
It's probably, that's a young man's job. It's not for me. They could be paying $250 a foot, and I still wouldn't do it.
Well, I just wonder what the going right now is, if it was that much 20 years ago. You know it's up around $3, $4 at least. But they tried to put an antenna up off Highway 11, and I was privy to the paperwork, and I could not believe the number of drawings and just environmental and blah, 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 blah. It is not a two-day process to get approval to put one of those things up. I was shocked.
So accidents and things like that, liabilities, insurance, lawsuits, that all feeds into that, you know?
Yeah, they don't want them just anywhere, but if you've got some land at an advantageous place, I knew at the time the specs how much land they needed for the guy wires and stuff, but of course they put up the self-supporting ones at a lot of places too, and you can pay for land that way over time. Now, not all of them get near the rent she did, not near. She was in a very desirable place down there that they just had to have a sky top repeater. and she had a bunch of services on it. So not everybody's got a tower makes even half that.
Opportunity knocked and she answered the door. Well, I'm at the DMV for the third time this week. Third time's a charm. I'll get it right this go around. And I'm going to get out and get in line so that I can be at the head of the line this time. It's been a learning experience for me.
It really is. Thanks, Dave, and thanks again for the repeater work. Keep us informed. W4NGU clear.
W4DJW clear.